presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
We have been saying it all week, and so many people in our comment section have been echoing the sentiment that this week cannot go by fast enough. We're obviously all just eager with anticipation for what's going to happen on Saturday night with Georgia Notre Dame inside Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium. As a way, though, of kind of biding that time and getting you ready for that, of course, we present Dog Nation Daily for you here today, and we tell you about tonight, Marlowe's matchup, 6 p.m., Marlowe's and Peachtree Corners. I'll tell you more about that later on, but just know that John Stinchcomb and myself are going to be doing a lot of Notre Dame talk with you this evening. Hope you'll come on by and enjoy some of the craft cocktails, chef-inspired food, everything else that Marlowe's Tavern is famous for, including that world-class hospitality. We'll see you tonight, 6 p.m., Marlowe's Tavern in Peachtree Corners for all of that. Before we get there, a couple programming notes. Two really fun guests on today's show. Later on, it's the guy who'll call the game Saturday night for CBS Sports. Brad Nessler going to be with us here on Dog Nation Daily today. And we'll talk in just a few minutes, really, to the former Georgia quarterback David Green back on Dog Nation Daily for the first time in a little while here. We'll talk to the former UGA quarterback about what it's like to play a big non-conference game. David played a couple of those when he was at Georgia, and he'll also share his thoughts about how junior quarterback Jake Fromm steps into this big stage on Saturday night and goes out and does some big things against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. We're going to talk about all of that on the program here today, and really can't wait for that. Now, let me begin kind of where we've been a lot here over the course of the last week, looking at national media opinions when it comes to Georgia Notre Dame. This is, I think, a crucial I don't know. It's been kind of an interesting storyline to see the way in which Georgia fans feel confident about the game. Georgia fans sometimes on guard to combat the national media, who sometimes they think don't like Georgia enough. That's sort of a common feeling that many fans have. And yet this week, for every Georgia fan who thinks Notre Dame is going to come into Athens and see a whole bunch of trouble, there is an ally in the national media seemingly there ready to echo that sentiment in every single instance. The latest example of this, you know by now that ESPN's College Game Day is going to be in Athens on Saturday. I'll invite you to go back and listen to yesterday's edition of Dog Nation Daily. We had a great interview with David Pollack, the former UGA great who's a part of that team there. And obviously David shared a lot of enthusiasm about what he calls a home game, seeing game day on his own in his hometown and his old stomping grounds in terms of where he went to school. And one of the other guys that's a part of that broadcast is the guy they call the Bear, Chris Felica. Y'all have heard me cite Felica before. I actually think he's a pretty good college football personality, even if he's not, you know, kind of a full-time member of that broadcast team. I actually listened in closely on some of the things that he said, and I think that when the Bear, who does an ESPN podcast, I think on one of the things that he said on his podcast this week, I do think it kind of sums up in large measure a lot of how the national media feels about this one on Saturday. What, you know, kind of what some of the maybe the concern from CBS could be put behind closed doors, the concern maybe for some of the ESPN folks behind closed doors in terms of hyping up this game and touting this game, is that when it's all said and done, what's the final score going to look like? Well, the Bear, Chris Felica, who you may have heard on ESPN's College Game Day, laid out a scenario why maybe this one doesn't go all that well for Fighting Irish fans. A pretty stern description of what could happen here from the Bear, Chris Felica. Take a listen to this from his ESPN podcast.
It's amazing to think that if you go back since 2000, I mean, they're 1-17 against top five teams, and that is amongst the five worst records in the country amongst any team that has played 10 top five teams in that span. And then Brian Kelly's four games against top five teams, rather. They've lost all four, and three of them have been by at least 14 points. So, I mean, the loss they took at the hands of Clemson last year in the semifinal, people thought last year that they were ready to contend and compete against Clemson in that game, and it still showed that there was a gap. And I can see why someone would like Notre Dame in this spot, because it is a lot of points. I don't know. I worry that this could get out of hand on Saturday night, and we might be sitting here next week reading a couple of days worth of, wow, is Georgia really the best team in the country? Something that we kind of been saying for a couple of months now.
I mean, listen, see this game get out of hand on Saturday, to see Georgia go out and dominate Notre Dame and then set up going into what will be a bye week for Georgia next Saturday, a week's worth of conversation of, hey, maybe Georgia through 4 weeks has sent a bigger message than any team in America, more so than Clemson beating Texas A&M, more so than Alabama beating South Carolina or Duke, maybe even more so than LSU going on the road and winning at Texas in what was kind of a sort of a shootout type game, ultimately won by LSU, that Georgia may have a chance through 4 weeks to send the biggest message of anybody in the country. That's obviously the kind of storyline that Dog fans would kind of salivate around just a little bit, but the one thing I keep hearing from a lot of people in our comment section or reaching out to me on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily about is, my gosh, BA, can you believe how much the national media seems to like Georgia in this game on Saturday? Can you believe that there's this much unanimity around this idea? We'll talk more to Brad Nesser and David Green about that in our program a little bit later on, but let me kind of take this kind of a different direction here, because obviously the scenario that Felica lays out as a possibility, it could happen on this program. We've tried to be clear about our case, why we think it probably does happen. Then by the time this game reaches the second half, it's probably not all that competitive. But let me take the not necessarily the opposite point of view here, but just a different twist and turn to this discussion here this week, because we know we have a picture in our mind of what it's going to look like on Saturday, right? Huge crowd, intense atmosphere, Georgia feeding off that in the early going. But for a Georgia team that on both sides of the ball is going to play some young talent, and in some cases players who maybe feed off that emotion a little bit more some than others, how do you maintain that over the course of 60 minutes? I have that on my mind today because on this same podcast where you just heard the Bear Chris Felica lay out his case for maybe this thing getting a little sideways before it's all said and done, his partner, you may know him as Stanford Steve, he shows up on Scott Van Pelt Sports Center and things like that. He said, yeah, but the one thing you got to be careful of when you have this big of a favorite, Georgia against Notre Dame, watch out for what happens late in the game. And Steve Coughlin made his case for that on this same ESPN podcast. Let's to this.
To me, I just feel like these games, Bear, where the momentum and the emotion and everything is so high to start the game that the back door is always going to be open. Always going to be open.
What he means when he says the back door is open is that a blowout game early becomes a closer game late. And for those of you that care about the point spread, maybe within the point spread before it's all said and done. And I'm actually really glad that Stanford Steve said that on the ESPN podcast. And I'll put a link to the full show when we post our podcast, theworldfamousdognation.com, later on today. But I'm really glad that Steve said what he said there, because I do think it sets us up for somewhere I wanted to go this week anyway. Because here is what I think is an interesting challenge for Georgia fans on Saturday. We know what it's going to be like when the team runs through the banner. We know what it's going to sound like when the Bab O'Reilly's playing, and we just know how, I mean, it gets me kind of chills even thinking about this. We know what the early atmosphere is going to be like for this game with Georgia just breathing down, Georgia fans breathing down Brian Kelly and Notre Dame's neck. We know they're going to make this a tough place to play. But I do think it's a fair question to ask. Can Georgia fans do that for the full 60 minutes? Can Georgia fans create an environment at Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium that really becomes a house of horrors for the opposition? Because what we've seen from Georgia fans the last couple of years is this fan base has become pretty renowned for its ability to travel, you know, taking over Nashville, taking over South Bend a couple of years ago, huge showing in Pasadena for the Rose Bowl. Pretty much everywhere Georgia goes, Georgia fans show up to the tune of tens upon tens of thousands, and no one has supported their team better. However, by reputation, Sanford Stadium has not always been thought of as one of the most intense home field atmospheres in all of college football. Either fairly or unfairly, when you see the ranking of the top five, the top 10 toughest places to play, Georgia's not always near the top of those lists. Now, on the field, Georgia's won all of its home games for the last two seasons, so maybe that's starting to change. But in terms of the noise and the atmosphere and what's created for the full 60 minutes, Saturday night's a chance for Georgia fans to build this aspect of their reputation. It's not only a fan base that travels and has a good time, it's also a fan base that makes things miserable on the opposition for its home games as well. In fact, this week, Kirby Smart talked about the role that fans could play in this game, the challenges of trying to make an intense atmosphere, and ultimately what the impact will be. Here's Kirby Smart.
You know, I don't know that. I mean, I don't know how much they prepared for that. I don't know. I know this. When you have an experienced quarterback, which they do, it's less of an impact than an inexperienced quarterback. But I do know that our crowd will have an impact, you know, whether it's on a lineman, whether it's on a communication of a, you know, a receiver or a tight end, who knows. But they'll have an impact on the game, and we need them to, because that's the advantage of playing at home.
Kirby says they'll have an impact in the game, meaning the crowd, and we need them to. And I think that's true. And I think the Georgia fans themselves should take this as a little bit of a challenge. You know, one of the things that everybody's waiting to see is, what does it look like when what? I mean, I've heard as many as 200,000 people in Athens on Saturday. I don't know if that's even true or even possible, but you've just heard so many stories. Tickets going for as high as, what, $700 in some cases? The get-in price here, I think, is still somewhere around $300. Is this a wine-and-cheese crowd? Is this a see-and-be-seen crowd? Is this a crowd that takes a bunch of Instagram selfies and says, hey, look, I was at the big game? Or is this a crowd that comes ready to make an impact in this football game and send a message to the other top-flight teams in college football that when you come to Athens, and over the course of the next decade, a lot of them will be Oklahoma, Clemson, Texas, and others, when you come to Athens, expect this to be a very, very tough place to play. There's never been a better backdrop for Georgia football in Athens. It's prime time on CBS. It's ESPN College Game Day to get the morning started. This is about as perfect of a fall Saturday as you can get. And it's an opportunity for Georgia fans to flex a little bit, to show just how much of an intense atmosphere they can create for a full 60 minutes. And all those fears that the national media has that this game might not be so close when it's all said and done, the Georgia fans can have a say in making sure that turns out to be true. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us, no matter how you get to us today. Live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon, of course, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev, and as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. And while I have your attention, let me take a moment to say to you how excited I am about the big event we're hosting tonight. The Marlowe's Tavern location right there in a great neighborhood of Peachtree Corners. A lot of you have been saying, B.A., when are you guys going to get out and do some new Marlowe's Tavern locations, get out to some places you haven't been before? Well, tonight, it's our first time at the Peachtree Corners location. I have heard a lot of buzz about this spot. Obviously, Peachtree Corners is one of the great neighborhoods in Atlanta, in the Atlanta area, and the Marlowe's Tavern is going to be popping tonight. So write this address down, and please be with us, 5210 Town Center Boulevard. That's 52110, let me try that again, 5210, 5210 Town Center Boulevard in Peachtree Corners. We're there tonight starting at 6 p.m. Myself, John Stinchcomb. It's a live broadcast of our Marlowe's matchup. Then after that, we'll be kind of hanging out, taking your questions and comments, and just talking some Georgia football, enjoying some chef-inspired food, some craft cocktails. A first time for us this season to be at a Marlowe's Tavern location. Cannot wait for that tonight. As I told you before, two fun guests for us coming up. We'll get Brad Nesser from CBS Sports coming up in a moment. David Green here in just a second as well. Before that, though, let's go around the doghouse here today by our friends, brought to you by Online Trading Academy. And in addition to the action on the field for Georgia on Saturday, there is also a very significant recruiting event taking place. You know, you've been following along in the forum at forum.dognation.com, or you've been reading Jeff Sintel's reporting at dognation.com. By now, you know about Noah Sewell's trip. You know about Theo Johnson's trip, Darnell Washington's trip. By the way, there's more on Noah Sewell coming up today at dognation.com. You'll want to check that out. You know how big of a recruiting event this is going to be, but when Kirby Smart and his staff are hosting this many recruits on the same day, they're also playing as big a game as Georgia Notre Dame looks to be. How does the staff handle all of that? How do they manage their time? Does the late start help here? Kirby Smart, when he spoke about that subject a little earlier this week, actually kind of downplayed the whole thing. Here's what Kirby Smart said about the dual role of hosting recruits, some on official visits, and playing a big game that night. Kirby on this subject.
It doesn't change for us guys. I'm going to be honest with you. I think y'all think that this is like we're going to recruit the kids that come. We're going to have a great group of prospects that come, and we're going to entertain them. We're going to do a good job spending time with them because we've got more of the day to do that. And I'm very thankful that we've got this opportunity because we've got a lot of national attention and a lot of I guess it's an attractive game for people to want to come to. So we're looking forward to that, but we're going to do what we do.
So Kirby kind of downplays it, as I said. My assumption, though, is that on the ground, it's actually a little harder to pull off than he makes it sound, because while they've got an army of analysts, and Kirby kind of talked about that some this week, about how they help, you know, make this weekend go smoothly for those who are taking their visits, there's also that portion of the time where the elite players want their FaceTime with Kirby himself, or their FaceTime with other UGA coaches, and obviously there's only so much of that to go around, so I'm sure that behind the scenes, managing all that's a little more challenging than Kirby Smart makes it sound, but this is the kind of thing he thrives on and lives for, and these kinds of games themselves are the real currency right now in recruiting. This chance to host the kinds of recruits that Georgia's going to host this week, This is the kind of thing that some programs just cannot open the door for. I mean, go, y'all want to laugh? Go look at the list of recruits that Florida's hosting this week for the Tennessee game. Not every program can get the elite recruits on their campus. Georgia can, and my guess is they'll host them well coming up this weekend. It's Around the Doghouse. It's brought to you by my friends at Online Trading Academy. And, of course, you know that one of the best decisions you can make is the decision to invest in yourself. Everybody wants more money when you think about doing things like going to the Georgia-Notre Dame game this weekend or hosting a big tailgate or whatever it is you plan on doing this week, and it takes money to do all those things. And the way to get more money for yourself is find out how to make the markets work to your advantage and move in your direction. Online Trading Academy provides that both in the classroom and online, a lot of different ways to learn and a lot of cool things to learn about, a variety of trading styles, a spectrum of asset classes. Online Trading Academy is the right choice for you to invest in yourself and learn how the markets work. But you've got to reach out to them at this website, tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. tradingacademy.com. That's with a D, tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. All right, it's great to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily today. Later on, we'll hear from Brad Nessler from CBS Sports. For now, though, on a big weekend in Athens, let's talk to our buddy, former Georgia quarterback David Green, right here on Dog Nation Daily. And it's always fun for me when we have a chance to have David Green here on Dog Nation Daily, the former Georgia quarterback. One of the cool things that David usually does when he joins on the program, he tells us about some good stuff going on at Tailgate Apparel, which is a great UGA apparel store located downtown in Athens. I'm sure David's got some more to say on that as well. But before I welcome in David, let me also show you this. Speaking of Tailgate Apparel, Chantel and the whole team over there at Tailgate were nice enough to send this Georgia t-shirt in for me. First of all, maybe a night for those of you who want to wear black on Saturday, this is a black t-shirt. You get the nice Georgia stitching on this with the dogs. One of the things I love about Tailgate Apparel is the kind of retro styling they have to a lot of the stuff they have. And you've heard me talk about Tailgate Apparel for a while. If you want to know more about this, you can check out Dog Nation Daily Live on Facebook right now. I know many of you watch on YouTube or you watch on Twitter. If you want to pop over to the Facebook for a second, you'll see a pinned comment at the top. You can click into that and you can kind of shop around some more for yourself and find out about all the really cool apparel that Tailgate Apparel has to get you outfitted for UGA here this season. So please check that out. That is up in our Facebook comment section right now as we do Dog Nation Daily Live. And of course, radio and podcast audience, you can check that out much the same way. With all of that said, let me bring in David Green here, former Georgia quarterback. David, welcome into our program. I am guessing that you are very much like all of us are, chomping at the bit to be in Athens this weekend to see the show that's going to be put on by Georgia and Notre Dame there as well, to experience game day, the CBS primetime broadcast. I don't know that you could add anything to this element. Perfect weather, by the way, is on tap here as well. What could you do to make this one more exciting and anticipated than it is? I'm not sure there's anything left.
Yeah, Brandon, you're right. I tell you, I told somebody yesterday, I said, I wonder if this is actually bad because I feel like a 5-year-old kid, like the day before Christmas, you know, kind of feeling just the excitement. I think especially to the way the teams played, you know, to open up these first three games. I mean, you know, exciting with that. Obviously, with Notre Dame coming here the first time and you got to have College Game Day, you know, people had this game circled on their calendar for a long time. And so, yeah, just exciting in a way. You know, the way we went up there a couple years ago, that was really Jake Fromm's coming out party's first, you know, game on the road, and be able to have that victory. Two top 10 teams right here, so you couldn't ask for more. And yeah, I'm hoping the weather's going to stay the way it is now, because those first couple games are pretty hot.
You know, David, in your career, you actually played in some pretty big non-conference games. It wasn't the sort of inter-regional stuff that we're going to see between Georgia and Notre Dame, but you played Clemson and Athens in 2002. Y'all traveled to Clemson in 2003 and walloped them that day. For you as a player, is it different when you're not playing an SEC team? Is it different? And maybe it's maybe more so today because we're in the playoff era. Maybe that matters more than it used to. But you played in a lot of big games at Georgia. Is there something different about a big non-conference game, an opponent that you don't see every Saturday?
It's really not, Brandon. The only thing I could say is that, you know, you just may not be quite as familiar with them because you don't play them, you know, year in and year out. You know, but once you get out there on the field, the 11 guys on their side, and, you know, it's all about just executing and having the right scheme and the right plan. So overall, it's not that big of a difference. It's just being familiar with the players on the other team is probably the biggest curveball.
I read something this week where I guess Roquan Smith had said that he watched more film to get ready for Notre Dame in 2017 than he did for any other opponent that he played. That was at least hearsay coming from Smith on that. It sounds like maybe the same way if it's an opponent you're not used to seeing. And, of course, when you played Clemson in 2002, you were a sophomore, so you hadn't seen a lot of anybody at that point in time yet. But, I mean, is there, I guess, more film that has to be watched in a situation like that because it's not the familiarity you might have with, say, an Auburn or a Tennessee or a Florida, one of those teams that by the time you're a senior, assuming it's the same coaching staff, you've kind of battled them four times. From that standpoint, maybe a little different.
Well, it shouldn't be as challenging now because they've got a couple of games under the belt. The tough part, Brandon, is when you open up the season with a new opponent like that because you really don't know what they're going to do. And so, like, when you mentioned Clemson, when we played them, you know, that was always the first game of the year, and you got new players, it's a new team, and you got new faces. You don't know exactly, and a lot of times, new coordinators. And so you don't really know exactly what you're about to see. You know, we're fortunate, you know, we're going into fourth game of the season, you know, so they can watch the first three games and at least have a pretty good idea, you know, the matchups and, you know, who are the key playmakers and the whole deal. You know, but coming in there that first game is the one that's really the biggest challenge.
What do you think about the game itself on Saturday? One of our themes on this show this week has been, admittedly, we do think Georgia wins this game, and we have to be honest, we think Georgia wins it convincingly. And yet it's kind of weird to see everyone kind of think the same thing. I mean, I watch as much college football content as anybody, listen to podcasts, you know, try to consume as much national stuff as I can, and I really haven't heard anyone yet make a convincing case for Notre Dame. David, it's even been so much so that we've had a lot of, you know, Notre Dame people, even had a guest on the show this week. Even they don't seem to be making much of a case for Notre Dame. And there's a part of me, speaking as a fan here for a moment, that doesn't kind of like when everyone seems to think the same thing, because when is everybody ever right about anything? I mean, what do you think about the game in and of itself?
Well, I'll say this. I hadn't watched a ton of Notre Dame play, but I've watched the Dogs every week. If we come out and execute like we're capable of doing, there's no doubt in my mind we'll win, and we'll win convincingly. But, you know, that's also the reason why college football is so fun, because you really never know what's going to happen week in and week out. In fact, you don't know what's going to happen from quarter to quarter or half to half. I mean, you can go back and rewind and look at the Georgia-Alabama game last year in the SEC championship. I mean, that was a tell of two totally different halves. And so if Georgia comes out in execution, I mean, you just look at offensively. I mean, our offensive line, you know, we've got the, you know, the upper hand there. We've got the upper hand with our backs, you know, versus their linebackers. Our receivers should be better than their DBs. And I love our quarterbacks. So, I mean, if we come out and just execute, we should be fine. But, yeah, you never know exactly the way it's going to go. And I'm always leery. You know, people say, hey, what do you think the score is going to be? The only thing that, you know, one of the reasons I always got anxious for you never know. Every game kind of takes a life of its own and creates a different feel. And I think even as a fan, you know, you kind of get that, you're going, man, this is just a weird football game. And sometimes that happens. So you just never really know exactly how the things will shake out.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You talk about this version of Georgia and how they respond in moments like this. I actually thought that Georgia probably didn't get enough credit for what it did last Saturday. People think of Arkansas State as an overmatched opponent, and to a degree, I guess they were. The score is 55-0, but this is a team that had been a bowl game 4 years in a row coming into this. Georgia had every opportunity to look ahead, didn't. You have the entire universe with good reason rooting for Blake Anderson, the Arkansas State coach, and yet Georgia didn't allow that to become a distraction, because when it's all said and done, there's still a football game to be played. I mean, I actually think the Arkansas State game provides a little more evidence than some people might think for what this current version of Georgia looks like, which is a team that's not easily distracted, even by the extra trappings of a Georgia-Notre Dame game. They just are very businesslike in their approach, and I do think that speaks well for what could happen against the Fighting Irish on Saturday.
Well, the key is this team seems extremely hungry right now. I mean, they seem like, you know, they're all about business. And, you know, the key is, can they maintain that throughout the year? And hopefully, you know, if we just come out and just keep staying hungry, keep trying to get better regardless of the results and the win-loss column, yeah, this team's going to be just fine, and it'll take care of itself because the talent's there, the coaching's there, and the leadership is there. You know, and I've heard Nick Saban talk about a little bit with his team, and he's had a couple of teams here in the last 3-4 years that started off extremely hot, but kind of lost their edge down the stretch because that hunger and that humility kind of lagged down the stretch. And we just got to – I love where we're at right now, because this team is strictly about business and getting better. We just got to make sure we maintain that. And I think, you know, some of our key leadership within the team, even Jake Fromm now in his third year and some of those other guys, you know, they're going to make sure that, especially some of these younger players that are getting time, will not get the big head and just keep grinding away.
I want to talk to you about a big weekend coming up at Tailgate Apparel in a moment, downtown Athens. Before we get to that, you mentioned Jake Fromm. Let me also ask you about him as well, because there's going to be a lot said this week, and with good reason. It's understandable. The contrast between Fromm now, as he plays a big game as a junior, and his first career start at Notre Dame in 2017. David, I was in South Bend there that day, and obviously we saw Fromm do some things really well, but we also saw, like anybody would be, kind of a nervous quarterback. And that's a huge spot. NBC, primetime television, that's a huge spot to make your first start. It's almost like the storybook thing of first game is at Notre Dame. It's just kind of a crazy thing to think about. And Fromm passed that test with flying colors and got better from there. But you probably understand what he's been through more certainly than anybody will talk to on our show this week about that. So from your unique vantage point of having played this position, done this job before, been a Georgia quarterback, what have you seen from Fromm from September of 2017 to September of 2019 in terms of his growth as a signal caller?
Well, I'll say this. You know, he probably started off as really, really good, and now he's great. But, you know, you think about it as a true freshman, you know, taking us all the way to the national championship and putting us in a position, really, to win it there at the end. I'll probably say the biggest difference between going into this game 2 years ago and now is more the fact that the coaches had the training wheels on the calling sheet then, because he was a true freshman, and they just didn't want him to lose the game, versus him now being freed up to make all the checks. And so he's been freed up, and he's gained the confidence of his coaches that obviously with his track record and the way he's handled himself the last couple of years, you know, he can handle the offense and he can handle the load. You know, when he made his first start on the road a couple of years back, you know, it was pretty much a football 101 type, you know, play calling sheet. And so, and Jake handled it well. I mean, it wasn't an easy game by any means passing, but it's tough as a quarterback as well when you know that, you know, the coach is being really conservative and just trying to make sure, you know, you don't make any mistakes.
You know, David, it's a big weekend in Athens, and so many people have been saying to me, hey, I'm coming into the Athens either for the first time ever for a game or for the first time in a long time, and they're saying, you know, what is there to do? It's kind of a long – for people who get there early, and you should on Saturday – you got a lot of hours to fill, and my advice and all that is always, hey, make sure you stop by and see what's happening over at Tailgate Apparel. I love shopping for the UGA gear there inside, but it's also a fun spot to hang out on game days as well. The address is 279 East Broad Street. It's the old Harry Bissett's building. 279 East Broad Street's the address. And David, I know the tailgate's getting ready to host a bunch of UGA fans again on Saturday, and I'm sure they've got big stuff planned and big stuff in store.
As no doubt. I mean, they're expecting a huge weekend. I mean, with it being an 8 o'clock kick, you know, there's probably going to be fans lining the streets in downtown, you know, starting early Saturday morning. So we got a big turnout. So from 1 to 3, I'm actually going to be in the store. And so love to see the fans. Y'all come by. I'll have my family there as well. So look forward to seeing the fans. And then from 3 to 4:30, really excited about this. Going to have Frank Ross, captain of the 1980 championship team that beat Notre Dame. So I'm also, you know, Brandon, hoping that's going to bring some really good karma to the football team since we got our, you know, our 1980 captain there signing. And then last, we're going to follow up from 4 to 6. We're going to have Reggie Brown, Ball receiver in there. So we're literally going to have somebody, we're going to have a former player signing really from 1 all the way to 6 o'clock on Saturday. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, tailgate's fired up and excited about the weekend as well. So it's come by and see me. Love to see if you're going to be there in Athens. Yeah, come by, I'd love to see you.
So quick recap here. David Green starting at 1 p.m. You got Frank Ross, great stories from the 1980 team. He's going to be there starting at 3 p.m. And later on that evening, Reggie Brown, great former UGA receiver. So three big autograph opportunities at Tailgate Apparel on Saturday, 279 East Broad Street in Athens. And by the way, check out our link, our Facebook comment section right now. You can see some of the apparel there from Tailgate Apparel, too. Really good stuff. David, thanks so much for being with us here on Dog Nation Daily. Hope I bump into you at some point in Athens this weekend. Enjoy the time with your family, and we'll look forward to hopefully getting a chance to talk to you again soon as well.
Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate it.
Good stuff there from David Green, former Georgia quarterback, and stop on by and see him and some other former UGA greats at Tailgate Apparel on Saturday. We've got Brad Nesser from CBS Sports coming up in a moment. Let me also take a moment to take care of some pretty serious business here. Let's do our Ortho Atlanta injury report, and unfortunately for Georgia on Saturday, and you can check out more on this, Mike Griffith's got a good piece up at DogNation.com. Unfortunately, there are probably more names on this list for Saturday than you'd like. Obviously, Tyler Simmons has been battling something, although he may be in okay shape when you get ready for Saturday. D-Rob had the hamstring issue or whatever it was that kept him out. Apparently, concerns about that are dissipating somewhat. I've said before, at some point in time on Saturday, I want to see D-Rob, Blaylock, and Pickens on the field together as the three receivers for Georgia. Hopefully, the injury situation for Robertson doesn't prevent that from happening. Of course, the big one's also Tyson Campbell. We talked about Campbell yesterday. I think that Georgia's got the depth in the secondary to withstand a Campbell injury, but obviously you don't want to play without him. So that's one worth watching, especially when you know that one of the strengths for Notre Dame is probably what they do at the wide receiver position, a couple big guys that can really run. Georgia's big guys who can run, matching up with them. I think that's an important part of this game, especially when you know what Ian Book's able to do, both with his legs and with his arm. If you can jam those receivers to the line, something that Georgia's been good at in the past, and eliminate the field of vision for Book because he doesn't see an open man, all of a sudden you take a running quarterback and make him single-dimensional. All of a sudden, he's not just a running quarterback. He may be, in some cases, running for his life, and that, I think, is part of the recipe for how Georgia wins this game on Saturday. But these injuries and the resolution of those will be a part of the storyline here this week. And, of course, the injury report here on Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by our friends at Ortho Atlanta. You know, 14 locations in Metro Atlanta with orthopedic and sports medicine care for the whole family, including seniors and kids. They've got 39 physicians, 450 employees dedicated to patient care throughout the Metro Atlanta. They also offer in-house physical therapy, MRI imaging, outpatient surgery, and after-hours orthopedic care. It's been said before that a good orthopedist can get you back in the game, but a great one can get you back your life. The quality of life is so important here. That's why Dog Nation Daily recommends Ortho Atlanta. Let me give you the website to go to find out a little bit more about this. You can find Ortho Atlanta online, and you can take good care. They're going to take really good care of you, so make sure you check out Ortho Atlanta here today. So website is orthoatlanta.com, orthoatlanta.com. You can find out more about Ortho Atlanta. All right, Brad Nesser coming up. Let's take a trip around the SEC first.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, good stuff there from David Green. Good to have him a part of the program. Let me bounce through a couple of SEC stories here just for a moment. I saw where Nick Saban had an update on Antonio Alfano, the five-star defensive line signee who's essentially gone AWOL from the program. And Saban, in some words that were captured by reporters this week, essentially accused Alfano of quitting, which it sounds like he kind of did. Stop going to class, stop coming around the football building. However, we are in a day and age now where both sides, the coach and the player, are going to have a side of the story, and Alfano's going to be telling his side of the story. And so while Saban may present a public image on what happened to Antonio Alfano that makes it seem like the player was the one in the wrong, you know, the recruiting world has a way of being a bit of a rumor mill, and, you know, Alfano's going to have his own side to tell on this too. We are in a weird age now where it used to be that if you're a defensive lineman, you come in, you expect to wait for a couple of years, that position maybe as much as anything else, for your time to be on the field. Well, there's impatience reigning supreme now in this new transfer age, the new kind of extended redshirt age where you can save some of your eligibility. Guys expect to play right away, even at positions where it used to be impossible to do that. Now, Georgia's had some success with the freshman defensive lineman this year. I think Trayvon Walker is pretty much a part of the mix here with the Dogs as of right now. However, a couple places, we talked about Moore yesterday at Auburn, Charles Moore, Antonio Alfano here, highly recruited defensive linemen who weren't playing enough right away and just kind of got tired of waiting. At least that's what it seems to be on the outside. How these coaches manage that's going to be kind of interesting. Also interesting to hear Saban going as public as he did with his seeming dissatisfaction and how Alfano had behaved. These things have a way of coming back on you a little bit. I don't know that Saban should have been quite as outspoken as he was. I am very curious about a storyline for Saturday. Do you think that Bo Nix, who did admittedly make a big throw for Auburn against Oregon in week one, is he ready to go on the road in a hostile environment at Texas A&M? And by the way, is Texas A&M ready to be a hostile environment for the Aggies? We talked about Georgia's opportunity this week to make it really, really tough on Notre Dame. That's probably even more so for Texas A&M. Go back and look at the Kevin Sumlin era Aggies have not always played well at home. Always a full stadium, usually a really loud crowd. They take pride in that. But in terms of Texas A&M winning games, have not done that as much as you might think. So this is a big day for Texas A&M. I do think Texas A&M wins the game. But Bo Nix could change the calculus on that a little bit. This is a guy that's a big fan favorite with Auburn fans. Does he go out there? Does he get that good performance and give Auburn a chance in this football game? Especially given the fact that on the other side, Kellen Mond has not played great yet for Texas A&M. His reputation coming into the season, probably better than he's performed up to this point in time. That may be worth paying attention to just a little bit. This is the perfect tailgate game. It'll be on that, what, 3:30 window. You can watch this before you go inside Sanford Stadium on Saturday, before you tune over your TV to CBS if you're home. This is a fun one to take in as an appetizer before the main course, which is Georgia and Notre Dame. By the way, I'm also interested in South Carolina, Missouri as well. When it comes to freshman quarterbacks, I probably have more confidence in Helinski going on the road to Columbia, Missouri right now than I do Nix for Texas A&M. You can do with that what you will. But for Will Muschamp, who's already lost to North Carolina, on the road at a Missouri team that has already got a non-conference loss to Wyoming, both these coaches, both these programs, you could say, need this game. I don't know that Will Muschamp doesn't need it more. South Carolina fans getting a little restless, getting a little impatient. I'm sure they'd like to see him come up and perform in a big spot. Ultimately, can South Carolina win this game on the road? That may be asking a little too much, but keeping it closer than the so-called experts think, I think that's certainly a possibility. It's potentially a harbinger of what could be for the rest of the season for South Carolina. Well, the overall record at the end of the year might not look great, but South Carolina can still make itself a little bit of a tough out. I said this on Monday, that the SEC East teams that have changed quarterbacks, for the most part, haven't seen much of a drop-off with the change. I think this is definitely true at South Carolina, where I think I may like Helinski for that offense a little bit better than I like Jake Bentley, which is probably kind of a weird thing to say, but it certainly seems true right now. By the way, as we're doing our SEC, let me remind you with the Callaway Resort and Gardens, their new Fall Adventure Pass. It's an activity pass program that allows you to maximize both the fun and the savings at Callaway Resort and Gardens. A great thing to do here during this fall time of year, especially with the weather being like it is now. Could not be a more perfect thing. The Adventure Pass includes bike rental, treetop adventure, tennis time, shore fishing. It's just $40 plus tax and fees, which is actually a really great savings. You can go to this website to find out more information about that, CallawayGardens.com. Website, once again, CallawayGardens.com, or you can purchase this at the Callaway Information Center or the Treetop Adventure Course, CallawayGardens.com, to find out about some really cool things happening at Callaway Resort and Gardens this fall. Make sure you check that out. And here on Dog Nation Daily, of course, one of the things I know you're looking forward to checking out, what's going to happen Saturday night on CBS, the unbelievable backdrop for college football with Georgia hosting Notre Dame. For more on that, let's talk to the guy who'll call the game for CBS on Saturday night. It's great to have Brad Nessler back here again on Dog Nation Daily. Brad, first of all, thank you so much for your time, and I'm guessing you're going to say that you're as excited about telecasting this game, broadcasting this game, as Dog fans are about watching it. This one has been anticipated for a long time, and it's finally here.
Yeah, Brandon, it's we've been looking forward to it. When it was on our schedule, you know, we looked at that and said probably a night game, and then people said, well, if you do that, then you can't do Alabama and LSU at night and the whole thing. And we said, I think Alabama and LSU would just do just fine that first weekend in November by itself at 3:30. But anyway, no, you know, you and I have been around here a long time. I've been here almost 40 years, and I don't remember a game that people were this excited about that wasn't a bowl game or an SEC title game or a national championship game. For a non-conference home game, it's about as big as it gets, I think.
Yeah, I'm curious of your opinion on that because, as you said, you know the history of all this as well as anyone does. I feel like I know parts of the reasons why the game is as big as it is, not just in terms of TV audience, but the ticket prices are through the roof. And, you know, there's expectations of maybe being, you know, 70,000 people in Athens that don't have tickets for the game.
Yeah.
If you had to put into words why you think all of this is such a perfect storm and such a fever pitch, do you have a good sense of why it's as big as it is?
Well, I think, you know, just the national brand that's Notre Dame. I mean, they've got alumni everywhere in different countries. I mean, just the, you know, they've had 7 Heisman winners. They've had 11 national championships. They're Notre Dame. They used to have, you know, when I was a kid, we'd get home from church on Sunday morning and we'd watch the replay of Notre Dame where they condensed it down to an hour and a half, and Lindsey Nelson would say, we pick up action later in the third quarter, you know. I mean, that's Notre Dame. And just looking at the gold helmets, I mean, it's a national draw. It's a national brand. It's you know, something that people in the SEC don't get to see unless it's a bowl game or a playoff game, you know, to play a game of this magnitude in the regular season. And I think it's going to open up some eyes around the country in the Midwest and the Northeast about what Georgia football is about and what a scene it is. You know, there's so many people. I grew up in the Midwest, and, you know, the Big Ten is the Big Ten, and it's Michigan and Ohio State, and that's the way it was, you know, before Penn State came into the Big Ten, before Wisconsin got good, and so on and so forth. And they don't get they just don't get what the SEC and what the scene it is down here. I've got a nephew coming down, and he's going to come with me to Alabama and LSU, and he can't wait because, you know, you see it on TV, and it doesn't do it justice, I guess, but... I just think it's a great scene, great setting at night in Athens, biggest crowd ever. You can't beat it.
Let me do two things here very simply. I want to ask you a question about Notre Dame in a moment. Let me ask you a question about Georgia right now. Obviously, you know the storyline with the Dogs. They have been tucked just behind, just underneath Alabama and Clemson now for a couple of years. Now, the playoff is where ultimately Georgia needs to prove its point against one of those two teams one way or another. Right. But in terms of a perception heading into that playoff debate, how much would a performance against Notre Dame springboard that conversation? And as you said before, it's a chance to showcase the growing Georgia national brand on CBS on Saturday. How much do you think Georgia can change the perception of where it ranks below Alabama and Clemson by how it plays against Notre Dame on Saturday?
Well, you know, I think it's great. I think it kind of started 2 years ago when, you know, they won up at Notre Dame. I think that became kind of a springboard for Georgia that they were in the national consciousness of being a really good team and a top four team. Now, you know, here doing this 1 month into the season, it's going to be, you know, if Georgia wins the game and if they win it handily, I think it's going to open eyes. Do I think it'll move them past Alabama or Clemson? No, unless one of those two stumbles, but it'll certainly solidify their spot, and they'll be there the rest of the year, and they'll be favored the rest of the year in every game, you know, pretty much, so until the SEC championship. But it's just one of those non-conference games that the committee's going to look at the end and go, if they beat them, if they beat Notre Dame, unless Notre Dame loses and then stumbles, you know, two or three more times along the way, then it won't have the same impact. But I think the people that look at the Final Four at the end of the year would look at this as a pretty big moment for Georgia.
And then on the other side of this for a moment, I'm sure you're aware of this. It's hard to find national media members this week, Brad, who are picking Notre Dame in this game or even making a very strong case for Notre Dame. And that's what we do for a living around here. We kind of chronicle the opinions that are out there. And,
Boy,
it's a one-way street right now, which makes some Georgia fans nervous. What do you think people are maybe not giving Notre Dame enough credit for going into Saturday, and what do you think makes the Fighting Irish maybe more dangerous than some Dog fans and some media members have maybe paid attention to thus far?
You know, I think their receiving core is pretty good. Their tight end core is good, you know, led by a kid from here, Tommy Tremble, and Cole Kmet coming back. I think they're going to run a lot of two and three tight end sets that would make me nervous if I was the Georgia defense. You know, just if you look at almost every level of Notre Dame, you look at Ian Book and you go, Ian Book's good. Is he as good as Jake Fromm? Not quite, but he's good. You look at their wide receivers and you go, you know, Chase Claypool's pretty good and Lawrence Keys is pretty good. Are they as good as the young guys that Georgia has? Probably not quite. You look at their running back core and you go, nope, they don't hold a candle to Georgia. And then, you know, their offensive line is really good and their defense is solid and they have a good secondary. So, I mean, I think they match up well with Georgia. And I'd be nervous, too. I guess I heard yesterday what the spread is. I don't ever pay attention to that, to be honest with you. But
sure.
If I looked at that, I'd go, wow, that's pretty big spread, even though it's a home game against a team that's supposed to be number seven in the country. I think Notre Dame's going to put up a good fight. I've heard people say that this is a no contest. And the people that say that, if they're right, that's great for Georgia. It's bad for our TV broadcast, but I just don't see it that way. I don't ever see any games that way, to be honest with you, unless it's Alabama playing Vanderbilt, and no offense to Vanderbilt, but done that a few times. Don't want to do too many more of those.
No, listen, I understand that. Well, Brad, you know the story. Georgia fans cannot wait for this. The CBS broadcast only adds to the excitement of that. A lot of folks ready to tune in at 8 p.m., and I see this one on Saturday night. First of all, thanks to you and the whole team there, Gary and everybody else, for doing such a great broadcast. We can't wait to watch it. You'll obviously do a great job on the call, and look forward to seeing you in Athens this weekend, and look forward to having you back here on Dog Nation Daily again very soon as well.
You got it, Brandon. We're looking forward to it. We'll do our best.
Good stuff there from Brad Nesser from CBS Sports. All right, let's wrap up our program here. First of all, huge thanks to Brad Nesser for being with us. And as I said before, you know, I love that CBS theme song when it cranks up and gets going, and I won't hum it because I don't have, I couldn't carry a tune with a bucket, but you know what I'm talking about. So for some of you, it's in front of your TV on that Saturday night. For others of you, it's that DVR the next day. We've kind of done our, we've kind of done our own version of the Sunday rewatch with recording these games. And so, yeah, the CBS stuff on Saturday night is going to be a blast. And it's interesting to hear, you know, the perspective of someone who obviously wants to be a good game, wants to be a close game. He's got all 50 states. He's going to keep entertained on Saturday. And I think he makes a pretty compelling case for Notre Dame there in that regard. But a fun night coming up on Saturday night. Of course, we'll talk to you about it tonight. Marlowe's Tavern, Petrie Corners for our Marlowe's matchup with John Stinchcomb. I'll see you there for that. And then, let me also remind you, Gatorator Updater, 1,055 days. We'll see you tomorrow here on Dog Nation Daily.